thank you for your enlightening speeches. Chananivas Prabhu, who has descended from Sri Mayapur Dham to bestow upon us his most rare and precious association, has spoken what we should be to be the essence of what the worship of Lalita and Vishakha means to us. That Prabhupada says, when Krishna descends into this world, he does not come alone. He comes with his abode, with his paraphernalia, and with his loving associates. Even the Goswamis, sometimes the deity of Krishna would manifest apparently alone to them, but they would never worship him alone. And the deity of Radharaman is one deity. When he self-manifested himself from Shalagram Shila, there was no Radharani deity visible. Similarly, at the Gomatil in Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami was searching everywhere for the Radha Govinda temple. And that little cowherd boy came to the bank of Yamuna and said, Goswamiji, why are you lamenting like this? Rupa Goswami explained to this little cowherd boy. He said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given me mission. To excavate the holy places of pilgrimage, to write Vaishnava literatures, extracting the essence of pure devotion from the Vedas, to live an exemplary way, especially in the renounced order of life, and to establish temples in deity worship. The prominent deity of Vrindavan is Radha Govinda Dev. According to the histories, Govinda Dev was installed by Bajranav, the great grandson of Krishna, just after the departure of Krishna from this world. Such a prominent, important deity. I've searched everywhere. I have gone to all temples. I have inquired extensively. I've gone to shops. I've searched in thousands of Brijvasis' homes to see if maybe one of them are worshipping him. But I can't find him anywhere. This is Rupa Goswami's spirit. He wasn't in Vrindavan to enjoy. He was in Vrindavan to serve. His eternal identity in Goloka is Rupa Manjari. Rupa Manjari is the chief confidential maidservant of Lalita Sakhi, who is the chief confidential maidservant of Radharani, who is the life and soul of Krishna. Rupa Goswami and his brother Sanatan were practically in the prison of worldly environment. They had power, prestige, vast wealth, youth, beauty, knowledge, all opulences in Ramkeli. But they rejected it all to come to Vrindavan to assist Lord Chaitanya in his mission. They were constantly absorbed in chanting the holy names. They were constantly associating with one another, the Goswamis, discussing topics of Krishna in ecstasy. And Vrindavan in those days, there was not bazaars or traffic or rickshaws honking horns. It was an absolutely manifested pure forest. Yamuna was flowing. They hadn't put dams in the Yamuna around Delhi side to moderate its flow. And there wasn't tons and tons of sewage being poured into it. When Rupa and Sanatan went to Vrindavan, it was forests of hundreds and thousands of kadamba trees, bakul trees, tamal trees, banyan trees, all auspicious trees. And Yamuna was flowing pure, crystal clear, nectarine waters with lotus flowers and swans. And there was no materialistic people there. There were no people opening up shops to make money, coming from other places and pretending to be Brijbasis. It was not commercial. It was very... Only the Brijbasis who loved Krishna more than their life and soul, and only the very, very topmost Paramhamsa-type people would live there at that time. It was a very secluded forest. So how beautiful. What a charming environment for Rupa Goswami to live. And he had already traveled to the various parts of Braj along with the other Goswamis. And by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wish and their divine vision, they were actually able to see Krishna's Leela taking place, his eternal Nitya Leela. They were seeing with their hearts and even through their eyes the Aprakata Leela, where Radha Krishna, Gopas and Gopis are performing their Leelas on the spiritual platform. And on the wish of Lord Chaitanya, they were marking the places where those Leelas are taking place so that the world could come on pilgrimage to invigorate their love for Krishna. Rupa and Sanatan in Vrindavan, they were not there to enjoy themselves. They were there on a mission, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaurate Shaitanya. The mission of magnanimous, munificent mercy, giving Krishna Prema in all directions, breaking open the storehouse of love of God, tasting it and distributing it profusely. In Varanasi, Mahaprabhu said, anyone who is my followers, help me to distribute these fruits of love of God. I have so many. Distribute them everywhere. No price. The only price to receive this fruit of love of God is simply enough faith to accept it. Priti viti yati yati nagaradi gram sarvatra prachar hoi bimoranam. Mahaprabhu, it was his mission. In every town and village, let my name be chanted. So, Rupa and Sanatan, their mission was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. They came to Vrindavan on Lord Chaitanya's order, and then both of them left Vrindavan separately to go to Jagannath Puri to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After spending some time in Puri, associating with Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Rai, and all these great Vaishnavas, Gadadhar Pandit, Haridas Thakur, they were sent back to Vrindavan, where they never left for the rest of their lives. But their spirit there was selfless service for the welfare of others. Nana Shastra Vichara Naikanitano. For the benefit of all humanity, they have written their books. They discovered the places of pilgrimage and revealed them to the world and even excavated many of them. So yes, Rupa Goswami did some... He had written so many incredible literatures. He had traveled the whole Braj and revealed so many hundreds and hundreds of places of Krishna's leelas. But he's telling this cowherd boy the suffering of his heart. That Lord Chaitanya wanted him to build, to establish the Radha Govinda temple, but he cannot find Govindaji. This was his service spirit. Even though he did so much, still, there was one thing he wasn't able to do in Lord Chaitanya's service, and that was bringing great lamentation to his heart. And please understand that that lamentation is a higher ecstasy than enjoying, because it's based on love. When you water the root of a tree, the whole tree is nourished. Krishna's bhavagrahi. He accepts the spirit, the purpose, the intention of a devotee's heart. Not the thing, but the feeling, the purpose in which something is offered. So Rupa Goswami's lamentation that he's not able to fulfill the desire of the Lord for the welfare of humanity, that lamentation is not like material lamentation. If we read the biographies of some of the great acharyas of our line, we find so many times they're lamenting in separation or in compassion for others. This is the two greatest lamentations of a devotee. Even the Paramhamsas lament. They lament for the destitute, fallen state of humanity who are trying to enjoy apart from Krishna. It's intolerable. Sometimes they lament due to their utter humility in separation from Krishna, that I'm so fallen, I'm so undeserving, that I cannot be with Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Radharani? Where is his associates? Where is Guru Maharaj? They're lamenting in separation. Or sometimes lamenting because they're not able to really carry out the service of their Guru and Krishna. You should understand that these types of lamentation are hundreds of billions of trillions of quadrillions of times more pleasing to the heart than the ananda of Brahman liberation. What to speak of how much deeper it is in satisfying the heart than any type of material enjoyment. Whether it be in Brahmaloka or Malabar Hill. These pleasures do not touch the heart. So we should know that when devotees lament, because great devotees, when they lament in a spirit of selfless service, that lamentation gives ecstasy to Krishna. And therefore, it's actually giving them such a deep experience of the love of Krishna. Viparalamba Bhav, is highest type of ecstasy. But it appears to be lamentation, because it's intense absorption in the object of our love. So yes, Rupa Goswami is living in Vrindavan on Lord Chaitanya's order. But he was living in Vrindavan for the purpose of establishing a sampradaya, the basis of the Gaudiya sampradaya. And with that established foundation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted devotees to preach this message all over the world. But the foundation must be there first. That is why Srila Prabhupada, he went to Vrindavan after he retired from his household life. He was becoming old. He went to Vrindavan not to retire, but to prepare himself to travel all over the world to give Krishna's message. That was his Gurudev's order. That was Lord Chaitanya's order. And where did he choose to live? By his own choice. It was his great longing to live right directly at the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and the deity of Sri Radha Damodar. Because the samadhis of great personalities are places where we can very specially receive their mercy. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakatamayam Tatati Svapadantikam. We bow down and worship the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami because he established the message and the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Goswami knew Lord Chaitanya's mind, his heart, very perfectly. And he was revealing Lord Chaitanya's mission to the world through such glorious way. So yes, Rupa Goswami, topmost acharya of our sampradaya, he was not in Vrindavan to enjoy Rajbhumi. He was there to serve the Dham, to serve his guru, Gauranga's order. And when he felt that there was a shortcoming in his service, he was lamenting. That was his selfless attitude. So deep. And he's telling this little cowherd boy the anguish of his heart. I've looked everywhere. Lord Chaitanya wants me to establish the Govindaji temple. I can't find him anywhere. I don't know where else to go. There's nowhere else to look. What to do? So the little cowherd boy said to Rupa Goswami, I know where Govindaji is. Come with me. There is a hill. That is the yoga peak of Vrindavan. He said, there is a hill called Gomatatiyo. And on top of that hill, every day, I'll show you, there's a beautiful white cow. This cow is a Sarabi cow of the spiritual world. And nobody sees and nobody knows because it is a secluded place. But that cow stands on the top of that small hill and profusely offers all of the nectarine milk from her body onto the ground. Why? She's offering it to Govindadev, who is beneath the earth accepting her offering. Now this is interesting, because How does that milk reach Govinda, Dave? He's way underground. And it wasn't a hole. There wasn't like a pipe that was going from the cow's udder through some pipeline into Govinda Dave's mouth. It was just going right into the dirt. Yes, but Govinda's underneath it. How is he reaching it? Do we have any scientists who want to try to explain this phenomena? Govindaji is drinking her milk, but it's going in the earth. And he's several feet under the earth. Because Krishna's bhavagrahi. He's accepting the milk in the form of the love in which the Surabhika was offering it. She was offering it in pure, unadulterated love to Govindadev. And it was reaching him 100%. And it was nourishing him, giving him I don't know if I want to announce this. There is a very esoteric, shocking announcement to speak. Hare Krishna. When I tell you, you will simultaneously be ecstatic and fearful. You will be quite ecstatic and very fearful. But I'm not going to tell you what it is. Where was I with the story? Ah, cow. So the cow, I better, so that I don't forget. You're in for a very, very shocking surprise. Hare Krishna. Even I'm shockingly surprised. It was my idea, but I'm shocked that people accepted it. I'll turn this over so I do not get distracted. Would you like to know what it is? I will not tell now. It's better to meditate on the cow. Krishna's bhava-grahi. He accepts the emotion, the sentiment, the devotion. And actually, he accepts the thing also. But the thing only has meaning to him according to the purpose in which it's offered. So this little cowherd boy explained, this cow is giving milk there every day because Govindaji is underneath the ground waiting for you, Rupa Goswami. And then the cowherd boy said, come with me, and took him to Gomatil. And there Rupa Goswami, just when he arrived, the Surabhi cow appeared and started letting down all her milk into the ground. Like that. No one was milking her. That in itself is quite miraculous. And then Rupa Goswami knew exactly where Krishna was. And then he turned around and the little boy was gone. And then he realized that that little boy was Krishna. And I didn't even recognize him. I didn't even offer him obeisances. I didn't offer any prayers. I didn't offer any service. Rather, I took service from him. Krishna did not reveal himself to Rupa Goswami, his identity, until after he left. This is Krishna. Krishna can only be known and seen according to his wish. There is no possibility by our own endeavors or even by our own efforts to purify ourselves to see Krishna. Krishna's Swaraj. He's completely independent. Only when by his sweet will he wants to reveal himself is he revealed. So he revealed his true identity to Rupa Goswami after he left. Rupa Goswami was holding hands with Gopal and didn't even know it. He just treated him like a little cow, like just a little neighbor boy. Haribo. So he lamented. He felt separation. That Krishna came to me and I didn't even recognize him. I didn't even do anything for him. And Rupa Goswami fell unconscious. But then when he came back to consciousness, he was thinking, whatever lamentation or anything is in my heart, that doesn't matter. What matters is my service. My service to establish Govinda Dev. So he went and told some farmer Vrijabasis that Govinda Dev is under the ground here. I know. And everybody knew about Govinda Dev. Nobody knew where he was, though. And they dug the earth, and there, like 10 million Kandarpas, the beautiful form of Govinda Dev attracted everyone's hearts. Rupa Goswami was in complete transcendental ecstasy. Not just seeing the Lord face to face, but in fulfilling the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada made his residence at Radha Damodar Temple, and every day he was praying with the tears of his heart for Rupa Goswami's mercy, to empower him and bless him to serve the order of his guru. Prabhupada was really following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis. He wasn't in Vrindavan to enjoy. He was in Vrindavan to serve the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's all. That was his happiness. That was his life. That was his prayer. Now, Govinda Dev appeared alone. There was no visible Radharani. Madan Mohan appeared alone. There was no visible Srimati Radharani. Now, how is this? Krishna never comes alone. So why is he appearing alone? He isn't appearing alone. The Goswamis named the temple Radha Govinda Temple. Radha Madan Mohan Temple. Because they understood, maybe Srimati Radharani is not visible to our eyes, but Krishna is never without Srimati Radharani. In Vrindavan, she is always residing within Krishna's heart. When Prabhupada established the temple in Delhi, he had Krishna playing a flute with Srimati Radharani beside him and called the deities Radha Partasarathi. And some people were questioning. Partasarathi is the chariot driver of Arjuna in Kurukshetra. Radharani, previous to that, she came to Kurukshetra to visit Krishna during a solar eclipse, but she wasn't there when he was driving the chariot during this ghastly Kurukshetra war. Why Partasarathi and Radha? Prabhupada said, oh, you do not understand. Even in Kurukshetra, even speaking Bhagavad Gita, even driving chariot for Arjuna, Krishna is always meditating within the core of his heart on the love of Sri Radha. Therefore, she is always with him. Hare Krishna. So the Goswamis, in this way, they could see Radharani in Krishna's heart. And later on, Janava Devi, Purushottam Jana, son of Maharaj Prataparudra, by the will of the Goswamis and their descendants, they actually established deities of Radharani. Not that she wasn't there, but so that you and me could actually see her. So Janani Vas Prabhu explained, Lalita and Vishakha, they've always been here. Not only Lalita Vishakha, but all the gopis and all of Vrindavan is wherever Radha and Krishna are standing. But by the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the great souls following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, they are revealing these personalities to us. For what purpose? Not to see, but to serve. For a devotee, to see is to serve, and to serve is to see. Does that make sense? Even I don't know. But it is a reality. To see is to serve, and to serve is to see. Prabhupada quoted his Guru Maharaj, do not try to see Krishna, because you can't see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna in such a way that he is pleased to see you. If he's pleased to see you, then either through the innermost separation of the heart or before one's eyes, Krishna reveals himself to you. He Radhe Brajadeva Kecha Lalite He Nanda Shunokuta. This was the mood of the Goswamis, not proudly saying, I see Krishna, I see Radha, and I will reveal to you. Not like that. Where is Radha? Where is Krishna? Where is Lalita? Where is Vishakha? Are they at Govardhan? Are they at Bamsivat? Are they at Yamuna? Are they at Radha Kund? Intense feelings of separation. That is seeing Krishna. That is absorption in seeing Krishna within his heart in the form of a desire, a willingness to serve. And they weren't running around to the... They weren't running to Bamsivat and Govardhan and Yamuna and all these places just to see Krishna. It was to serve Krishna. That is the spiritual world. We see on the altar Lalita and Vishakha. They are the two most confidential, intimate associates of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. And their pose is always in the mood of service. This morning, Janani Vas Prabhu, in his brilliant, heart-melting class, actually all he has to do is glance at you and your heart melts. But what to speak when he speaks? Or what to speak when we see him serving Thakurji, the deity? So he was speaking so nicely about the services of Lalita and Vishakha. They come to serve. And why did they come to temples? Why did Prabhupada establish them in temples? To inspire us in the mood of service. That is what bhakti is about. Bhakti is not devotion. Bhakti is devotional service, to serve with love. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. Something very strange is taking place. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. What does that mean? That we're eternally servants of Krishna. Service is our life, service is our soul, service is our aspiration, service is the only thing that matters. Chandramali Maharaj was speaking so nicely how the perfection of service is simply to please Krishna. Samsadir Haritoshanam. It's the only success in life for the soul. On the basis of truth, there's only one success. Have we pleased Krishna? Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati gutopi. We please Sir Krishna by pleasing Guru. Guru is teaching us what is required to serve Krishna and please Him. He's telling us not only what to do, but the attitude in which to do it. If we're trying to please Krishna, but we're stepping on the heads of other devotees in order to get the credit to do it, is Krishna pleased by that? You may be pleased, and you may get some glory and credit from others, but you may not be coming closer to Krishna. Servant of the servant of the servant. Lalita and Vishakha represent parampara. Rupa Goswami is directly the maidservant of Lalita Sakhi. And we are all Rupanugas. We are all to follow in the line of Rupa Goswami. And how do we follow in line of Rupa Goswami? Not directly, but through parampara. That is the perfect and pure way. Intellectual people can speak about all sorts of high topics if they just have good memories and apply their mind. But realization only comes according to our service attitude. But Prabhupada never declared himself to be great. Prabhupada told us again and again, and he told us this because he wanted us to have the proper conception. That his only qualification is he's just faithfully, humbly serving his Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That's the attitude of a great soul. Service. So yes, Jananivas Prabhu has revealed this inner treasure. That service of servant of the servant of the servant of the servant is what the deities of Sri Lalita Sakhi and Vishakha Sakhi represent. As Swarup Damodar Goswami, Lalita Sakhi was serving prasad to every devotee. He was honoring and worshipping Paramananda Puri, Nityananda Prabhu, befriending so intimately Gadadhar Pandit, Haridas Thakur, and all others. Every devotee is just serving every other devotee. No one wants to enjoy, no one wants to receive, everyone wants to give. That is Vaishnavism. That is the spirit that makes Vrindavan the supreme most happy place. Because no one cares anything for themselves. Everyone is simply servant of the servant of the servant. No one is trying to step on each other's heads. Everyone is happy serving. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that Radharani is like a creeper entwined around the tamal tree of Krishna. And the gopis, they are like the flowers on that creeper. The gopis are not directly in touch with the tree. But whatever service Radharani, whatever ecstasy she's receiving from Krishna, she's sharing that and nourishing it with the servants of the servants of the servants of the servants of the servants. Now Krishna cannot fathom the happiness of Radharani. Yes? He cannot fathom. He descends into this world with her mood and her complexion just to taste the sweetness of her ecstasy, because he says personally that it's tens and millions of times greater than mine. So if you approach Krishna directly, if you try, even if you succeed, what will Krishna give you? He'll awaken some ecstasy in your heart. But if you approach in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya as the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant through parampara of Srimati Radharani, then the ecstasy of her love for Krishna is shared with us. Is there any higher pleasure than that? And it doesn't diminish as it goes through the various personalities of parampara. Rather, it increases. Because the sweet mood of the nectar of the love of each acharya is added to that elixir. Yes? Srimati Radharani's love through Swarup Damodar, Lalita Sakhi, Ramananda Rai, Vishaka. Then Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami, Vilas Manjari, Jiva Goswami, Rati Manjari, Raghunath Das Goswami. The ecstasies of their love is fully added to the nectar. And then we find Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna Das Kaviraj previously, Baladev Vidyabhusan, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Srila. This is what Prabhupada is giving us. Nothing small. He's giving us the chance to actually be nourished with the happiness of Radha's love from in the ecstasy of Radha's happiness in serving Krishna, which is further enhanced by the love and the devotion, the compassion of all these acharyas and so many more which are not necessarily named in the list of parampara. That is the opportunity. But how to receive it? How to access it? It is not by becoming great. It's by becoming humble. It's not by trying to enjoy it. It's by trying to be enjoyed by him, by them. Service. Our service attitude is everything. The impersonalistic school, they want to be the enjoyers. They'll serve with the intention of ultimately becoming God. But a devotee, only aspiration is to serve forever. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vadya gadisha kamaye. Mama janamani janmanishwari bhavata bhakti rahoi tiki tvai. We should hold that sloka very, very high on the altar of our hearts. I do not want wealth. I do not want fame. I do not want prestige. I do not want to enjoy passionate feelings and experiences. I do not want learned scholarship. I do not want liberation from suffering. This is the mood of gopis. Gopis are willing to go to hell for eternity to give Krishna 1 second of relief from a headache. That is a service attitude. That is Mahaprabhu's mood. I do not want liberation. I only want to serve you unconditionally, birth after birth after birth after birth, if that is your desire. Now, obviously, in a neophyte state, we can't honestly offer that prayer. But that is our aspiration. That we know is the goal. And that is what we want to prepare us. The goal of our life is to prepare ourselves in such a way that we could chant this prayer, Nadanam na janam na sundarim, with an honest and pure heart. That's the perfection of our life. Ashlisyava Padaratam Panashtumam. This is the culmination of Shikshastakam. The culmination of the highest evolution of thought that has ever been revealed to this world. That Krishna, you can do anything you want to me. You can trample on me. You can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You may embrace me, whatever you like. I am here for you. I am your servant, unconditionally. That is following in the footsteps of gopis. Not just trying to enjoy playing Ras Leelas. Even when we're discussing Krishna's pastimes, the mood is service. We're doing it to serve our guru, to serve the Vaishnavas, and to ultimately give happiness to Krishna. So the all-in-all of bhakti is simply service. And the essence of bhakti is the chanting of the holy names. But what is the chanting of the holy names? Krishna reveals himself in his name according to our service attitude. And the whole purpose of chanting the holy name is to increase the happiness we can give Krishna through our service. Haridas Thakur explained, the goal of chanting this Maha Mantra is love of Krishna. Why do we want love of Krishna? Because to the degree we have love, our service is pleasing to Krishna. Because Krishna only accepts love. We don't even want to love for ourselves. We want to love because to the degree we have love, we can give pleasure to Guru. To the degree we have love, we can give pleasure to the Parampara. To the degree we have love, our service is very pleasing for the Sakis and Radharani to offer Krishna. That's all. We don't want to love to enjoy. To the degree we love, Krishna will enjoy us. Hare Krishna. That is why we want to love. Even our aspiration to love is based on service. Selfless, unconditional service. Now this is a very high topic. But that's what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically came to the world to give. The highest of all topics. Swarup Damodar Goswami, who is Lalita Sakhi, he revealed, Anarpita Charin Chirat Karuna Yabatina Kalo. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give something no other avatar has ever given, the conjugal love of the gopis. That's profound. And what is that love? Unconditional, total, selfless service. They don't have any aspiration whatsoever to enjoy. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, this is an apparent contradiction that is extraordinary. That they have absolutely not the slightest inclination to be happy. They only want Krishna to be happy. And because of that, Krishna gives them the greatest happiness, the supreme happiness. The yogis, the jnanis, the goddesses of fortune, they don't even have a trace of that happiness. But they don't want it. If you want to be happy, you won't be happy. If you just want Krishna to be happy, you'll be in ecstasy. But you don't care about your ecstasy. You're only concerned about Krishna. But Krishna enjoys your ecstasy. Very wonderful. Very inconceivable. But that is the gift of Mahaprabhu. So that, where does that leave us, neophyte devotees, just struggling with our mind and senses in this world? It leaves us at the threshold of the ultimate perfection. We simply have to learn the proper attitude of selfless service, pray for that, long for that, strive for that. Servant of the servant of the servant. And wanting to purify our heart for that purpose, we must sincerely absorb ourselves helplessly in with great attention and chanting the holy names. Should I tell you the message? You don't sound very enthusiastic. To receive this message is going to take a lot of enthusiasm from you. Should I read it to you? Ekanath Prabhu, would you like to give a speech before? Would you like to speak a few words? Ekanath Prabhu, Astasakhi Mataji, you can sit here if you like. Two of two very, very senior, wonderful disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Ekanath Prabhu is one of the principal devotees who are for years and years, 27 years, he is one of the devotees in charge of one of the most important departments in all of ISKCON, preserving and distributing the original words and of Srila Prabhupada, the Bhaktivedanta archives. Whether you know it or not, every day we are receiving the benefits of Ekanath Prabhu's selfless, wonderful service to the Vaishnava community. Let us loudly welcome Astasakhi and Ekanath Prabhu to Radha Gopinath Temple. Should I read the message? Are you ready? Hold on to your dhotis and saris. Too much. This is too much. It's only one sentence. But there's going to have to be a long purport to explain this one sentence. Govind Prabhu, I should say. I may need my spectacles. I don't know. All right. If there's absolute silence with anticipation, I will commence the reading of this letter. Dear Maharaj, we are ready for Sri Sri Radha Gopi Jana Ballabha's holy festival. Now the purport. Last year we tried this. And to this day we haven't finished the damage control. So if you all promise
before Prabhupada and the deities that you will remain very conservative. Not in singing, not in dancing, but in not destroying the temple. So Radha Gopijana Balabha will celebrate Holi, and there will not be a drop or a particle of prasadam for you. As far as colors. So do not expect anything. Just take your enjoyment in seeing Radha Gopinath being covered with all these nice dyes and colors. But don't expect anything for yourself. The prasadam will be the mercy and the blessing of seeing this most beautiful, extraordinary darshan. Promise? So there will be nothing to distribute it except the holy Mahaprasad that's being offered to the, which is in the form of foodstuff that you put in your stomach, and then what happens after that will not affect the temple room. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki. Are you ready?